Yes, sir.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. It is Wednesday, January 21st, 2026, and this is a collective bargaining session between the team representing the United Faculty of Florida chapter at UCF and the team representing the UCF Board of Trustees. And I'd like to begin, first of all, by wishing everybody a Happy New Year. This is our first chance to get together in 2026, and hoping that this will be a productive year for us. The first thing that we'll do officially today is take a look at the minutes from our last bargaining session on December 10th.
It looks good to me.
Okay.
Any comments from anyone? Okay.
Excellent. The minutes are approved. Talat, as I mentioned to you, we don't have a new proposal to bring you today, but there are some things that I'd like to talk about specifically related to the calendar and how that impacts what we do here. So I'm just pleading for a few minutes to accommodate some remarks that I want to share.
Okay, sure.
I think we got started in February, if I remember right, last year, almost a year ago. And both of our teams have worked hard to reach agreement on Articles 8, 19, 20, including an MOU that accompanies Article 20 and Article 32. All that remains open for us right now is Article 23, which is an article that is reopened every year. In fact, we will reopen Article 23 for the 26-27 academic year at our next bargaining session, next scheduled bargaining session on February 11th. With regard to Article 23, the salaries article, at this time, the two parties are not especially close to agreement on that article yet. Our team, the BOT team, appreciates UFF's movement toward our proposal at the last bargaining session. We recognize that there were some concessions that I know are important to you that were made, and we appreciate that. Your team, Talat, the UFF, has presented its position clearly and effectively, and I want to make sure that I say very clearly that the UFF has been heard on this. And understandably, your team is not satisfied with the proposal that the Board of Trustees team has been able to present so far for Article 23, and we get that. Our team and the university wishes that more could be offered in Article 23 at this time, but the truth is, the bottom line is, a better, larger offer cannot be made during the current fiscal year where we are in fiscally right now. But I want to take a couple minutes and address the calendar, because even though we're in a position that we don't like, and you don't like the position that we're in, what university would like to be able to do is pay the NUFF employees the one-time payment that we've offered as soon as possible. And we've taken a look at the calendar very carefully to try to figure out what does that mean if we say that. So as we look at the calendar ahead, May 15th is the last pay date for the 25-26 academic year, at least for the 9-month employees. And we recognize that most of the NUFF employees are 9-month employees, not all of them, but most are. And we looked at that date of May 15th and began to work backwards. One of the groups that we contacted was HR, and in order to provide the one-time payment in the paychecks on May 15th, we would have to provide HR with all the information about the one-time payment, who's getting it, how much are they, each person getting it, 3 weeks before the pay comes out. So the actual effective date that they would need in order to pay the one-time payment on May 15th is April 24th. And in order to provide that information, everything's got to be done with this. The UFF would need to vote to ratify an agreement, and our Board of Trustees would also have to act on that agreement as well. So as I continue to work backward on the calendar, April 15th is a date of a Board of Trustees meeting when, in at least in principle, a new contract for the current academic year, 25-26, could be approved, provided it's been vetted by the in-unit faculty. We may have an imperfect understanding, but as our team understands it, a UFF ratification vote can be held about 3 weeks after the members are notified about a tentative agreement. Now, I don't know if it's precisely 3 weeks, if it's four. We even talked among ourselves that it might be as long as six. I don't know what it is, but for the moment, I'm going to assume that it's 3 weeks. And that means that if the Board of Trustees meets on the 15th, if a ratification vote by the UFF membership was completed by April 14th on a tentative new contract, we would have to reach agreement on that tentative contract by March 10th of 2026. And that's, I backed out 5 weeks, recognizing that I believe the UFF needs 3 weeks in order to do the ratification vote, but there's also some setup. We have to make sure that rooms are reserved so people can vote. There's a place where we can count the ballots and so on. The information has to be disseminated to the memberships. And right in the middle of that period is spring break. So that's why I marched that back 5 weeks to March 10th, which would be the few days before spring break begins. And then continuing to march backwards, March 4th is the date of the last scheduled bargaining session that we have before March 10th. And based on, you know, the information that we have, if we're right about this 3 weeks that's needed for the ratification, and we realize that there's got to be a little cushion in there to get the information out and so on, that really, if we don't come to agreement on Article 23 by our session on March 4th, we don't see how a one-time payment could be paid to the NUFF employees in this fiscal year. So that is concerning to us.
Not fiscal, because, academic, but yeah.
Well, in this fiscal year as well. It would be whatever. We need to come to agreement by March 10th if we're right about the 3 weeks needed for the ratification. If the time needed for ratification, however, is longer than 3 weeks, we might have to back that up to the bargaining session that we have scheduled on February 11th, which is our next bargaining session. So there's, you know, one unknown in there, you know, how long is required by your side in order to conduct a ratification vote. So we'd have to get that clarified. And then we can figure out, is it March 4th that we need to be looking at? Is it February 11th? This is all based on paying this one-time payment the last possible time we could for the nine-month employees. If we can come to agreement sooner, perhaps we can pay it out sooner, which we'd like to do. We would like to get this money in the hands of the NUFF employees as soon as we can. And you know, we understand It's been made very clear. You've done a great job of making the case that what we've offered is not satisfactory. We understand it. We understand your position completely. What would cause us additional pain ourselves is the thought that no money would get into the hands of the UFF represented employees during this academic year. We would like to see that happen, and we hope that we can do that with the understanding, the recognition that at our next bargaining session, the next one after today, we're going to reopen Article 23 again. So in some ways, Article 23 is almost continuously bargained from one round of bargaining into the next. So we wanted to make sure that you were aware of how these dates are important and how they will affect what we're able to do. So we wanted to present that to you so that you were aware of it. And, you know, we think as of today, I think March 4th is a pretty important date on the horizon. And it's not 6 weeks from today. It's where we are.
So, I understand. And I think it is 3 weeks. I mean, maybe I should let you continue, but I do want to make come up with some points, because not just justifying the raise that we are asking, but just the way negotiations are done at UCF. And the reason I bring it up, because you're talking about timeline, I want to bring it up right now, because if we continue to do business like we've been doing for the past 5 years, we will continue to have this problem. And the reason I say that, so I have spent the last few days getting information from all others. I mean, when I say all others, I really talk to 11 institutions. These are the higher ones in the SUS system. So particularly FSU, UF, UCF, USF, and FIU, FAU, and so on, West Florida, North Florida, and so on. So that's about 11 institutions. In all of them, they reach an agreement. You know, FSU was complaining because they reached agreement this year late. They reached it in August. Okay, so you know, the bargaining team, I mean the UFF side, makes a proposal sometime in March or April, and there's no reason why it can't be made in March. And they have an offer, a counter offer and so on, a little bit after that. And then by the time fall comes, an agreement is already in place. USF has been an exception. USF has had a long bargaining right now. In fact, last year, they did not want to accept the offer. So basically, USF BOT gave them a 3% raise regardless, and they said you can call it ADI because of whatever you want to call it, a bonus you can call it, but it was a 3% raise. They were asking for a lot more than that, and so they did not actually accept it, so they never negotiated the raise last year. They're in the same situation this year. They have an offer on the table for 2%. They don't want to accept it. It is quite possible that everyone will get there anyway. But I want to get to the point that at UCF, and what I did this morning after I talked to you, I was actually going through looking at the last 10 years, and it seems like we never settle before November, before, you know, and sometimes it's even later January. Here we are in January. That's how we were in 2018. So I've gone through that. So there is something wrong in just the way we get the response back. We gave you Article 23 in April, and we didn't hear back till September, 5 months later, 3 days shy of 5 months. So, you know, the problem that we are facing here is that faculty are not a priority for the administration. And it should be a line item. It should be there when you're planning your budget. You know, you can put in there a certain amount, then you can go up and down that amount depending on how things are going. But it should be there. It is in there. It is an afterthought. It's after everything has been spent. That's when the money comes in. So I think one of the things, if you're you know, negotiating in good faith, one of the things that we have to get from UCF BOT is a commitment that this is not going to be keep delayed like it is now. I mean, it's like, okay, let's spend my money on everything else, and if something is left, we're going to give it to you. I mean, this cannot be the case. You know the budget. The budget comes way in advance, and you know the budget. Why do we have to wait? Why are we talking about it in January? Why could we not get something? And so if moving forward, if we don't do that, we're going to be in this scenario. And you know, I mean, you know, a lot of times I really feel like a broken record, but that is something. And I don't know if you can go to our higher administrators and ask them if it is possible that they respond so that we have, before August 8th comes, we have in hand an agreement on what it is. Or, you know, we're not going to agree, then in which case we could be talking about impasse or whatever else right then, but not in January.
Well, Talat, thank you for sharing those thoughts. And you raised some great points. And this is why this very kind of scenario that we've been in many times in the past, and we find ourselves in it right now, unfortunately, is one that we want to avoid. One of the things that we mentioned last year was that we were interested in changing the rhythm of our bargaining. And right. That is specific. And evidence of that is we started in February this year. We're starting in February, in a month from now, on 26-27. That's not what we did in the past. So, and what we've hoped is that would set us up so that increases could be paid in the fall. I'm not saying August 8th. I'm not promising August 8th. I don't know that I can promise any date, but we'd like to do it, you know, say the time frame that comes to my mind is October, which is a lot different than April and March and places that we've been before. But it's a valid point. And we've been talking about it, you know, with leaders at the university. And I want to address that some more. I'm very glad that you brought that up.
Well, and I think also you should take back the message that, you know, we don't have any money. That may be true because you spent it because we were not a priority, you know. And so don't come and tell us that we are so thankful for all the great job that you do, because we are not. We only get words. We don't, you know, it's mind-boggling to me. I keep saying that because I know you. I know, you know, Alex. I know, you know, John. I have met him, and, you know, we're all talking about the same thing. I think our mindset is also similar. So why do you make such decisions, which I would never think of making?
Again, I want to say we hear you. You were heard on this. Couple of more things that I can tell you. And, you know, since September, President Cartwright has been emphasizing that new funding for achieving preeminence, we're expecting that we're going to be designated as preeminent soon, but any new funding that we get for achieving preeminence is going to be used to prioritize UCF employees. He said that.
But there may be no, supposing there's none, then what are you going to do? I mean,
well,
you know,
I'm not finished. I'm not finished.
Yeah, okay.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, Talat.
Okay.
You know, Provost Buckwalter has reiterated the same things that the president has said. I've also spoken to our interim CFO, Bert Francis, and he brought this up. You know, we got to change the timing on these things. And we had a great conversation about it. And I mentioned to him, I said, we were talking a year ago with the union about how we're trying to change the rhythm of when we implement these increases. And he was glad to hear that. Now, what we got to do is fully implement what we wanted to do. And I'm not finished. I got a little bit more to say about that. But I want you to understand that I've spoken to the president's office about this idea of the rhythm, talked to the provost about it, talked to the CFO about it. And, you know, as we look ahead to the next fiscal year, to 26-27, you know, I'm convinced, you know, we have to see what happens, that compensation for UCF employees is the number one priority. We don't know for sure what the state budget is going to be. We typically find out, you know, after the governor signs it, whatever's the governor has a line item veto, some things that we may think are coming our way may be stricken from the budget. We don't know, you know, how the funding for preeminence might arrive. We don't know what form it's going to be in. We don't know about other UCF priorities. All the state universities indicate to the state what their priorities are. We don't know how that's going to work out. But I do want you to understand that one very important change that I think is going to make it possible for us to continue to move toward this new rhythm that we're seeking is the university is really focused right now on doing a better job of planning and budgeting. One of the things that our former provost, Mike Johnson, did is he appointed Rebecca Richards as our vice provost for integrated academic planning. So she is very much involved in all the budgeting, working with the academic units. She and I are in regular communication about what's going on here, and she understands completely how, you know, we want to do this earlier in the year. So UCF is now considering how to budget differently for more consistent increases for employees. That's a work in progress. I can't tell you what it looks like. I don't know, but I know it's a work in progress. This is very consistent with what we've been talking about for a while, about changing this rhythm of our collective bargaining. You know, again, this is why we're opening articles for 26-27 next month. We're trying to get ahead of that. You know, if everything works out in an ideal situation, increases would become effective in the fall. We'd like them to be early in the fall. Again, I can't promise August 8th, but you know, I think October is a reasonable target. Maybe this is a process that requires some iteration. If we can hit October a few times, maybe we can start pushing it towards September. Maybe we can get to that August 8th as well. You know, we need to make commitments to employees earlier than we have in the past if we're going to be successful with this. And there's really a side benefit that was mentioned to me, and I think I mentioned it at a bargaining session about a year ago. There are some national rankings that look at faculty salaries, and those rankings collect data usually very late October, November 1st, somewhere around there. So implementing raises before these surveys are done about, you know, what's going on with faculty, is it to the advantage of all of us? And, you know, I made sure that President Cartwright knew that when I was in his office I think it was sometime last year, I let him know that this was something that we were looking at. This is one of the reasons why we wanted to do this different rhythm. So, you know, I think there's some things that we, all of us, have done that have been positive. We've set a target for ourselves. We're not there yet. We're not doing exactly what we would hope to do. The university is looking at budgeting differently. It's looking at planning differently. Exactly what that's going to look like, I don't know. But taking care of employees is going to be a priority. And I'm extremely hopeful and confident that we're going to do better at this. But right now, we're not in a good spot. We're not. I can't sugarcoat it. There's just nothing I can say. This is this is wonderful. But then the next opportunity we have to give a good raise, a decent raise to our employees is in the next fiscal year. So it's not going to happen real soon. The fall is, the earliest that can happen.
So
we'll begin negotiations on the 26-27 stuff next month. As soon as we've got enough information that we can bring something to you on Article 23 for 26-27, we will do so. I want to get this done. I would rather that both sides had a few months off each year when we didn't have to bargain. Not that we don't enjoy seeing you. It's not personal. We enjoy getting together. But we can get together for coffee instead of bargaining, if that's how it works out. So that's what we're shooting for, Talat. We are not there yet. And our hope is that we're able to provide the faculty that are important to the university something this fiscal year. That's what we would like to be able to do. And I think
Could I speak?
Sure, please.
So the first thing that I would like to ask is, I think all members, bargaining unit members, deserve an explanation about why there is no money. Why there is no money for faculty salary raises when there has been money. We can see it floating around. There has been money for a number of things. Why is it? Now, what happened? I mean, what happened? I'll also tell you that, I was looking at the raises we've gotten in the last 10 years, and I see an interesting difference in the past 5 years. In the past 5 years, there have been 2 years when we got no raise. That didn't used to be the case. Yes, maybe there was one year in the last five, but then it came back, and 1 year we got two raises, But why is it that in the present circumstance, particularly after COVID, and UCF is one of the universities that did not go red during COVID. I mean, we're very glad, but you did well. I mean, we did well. And so it wasn't like money was, there was no money. So we just do not understand. And I don't know if you want me to show the comparison. I can show you what others have done, and in fact if it's okay, I will if I can share my screen, I can show you this one thing about what has happened at other places, and it's may I do that? May I share my screen? Then
I hope so.
Okay. So let's see. I think it's that I want to show. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So basically, there are a lot of columns that I haven't filled out everything, and I don't want to dwell on that right now. I basically want to talk about these two items here. Let's go. Oh, if I can push it up. Yeah. Right. So this is the universities that I've looked at. So there are 10 of them over here. And then this is what everyone else has gotten. And as I have mentioned, I'm not hiding anything here. Then there is this. So this shouldn't be in this column that's over there. So let me remove that. I just made a mistake there. Okay. All right. So basically it is this that they got, right? So that's the one place. Other than that, all of them, have gotten something. And in a lot of cases, like FIU in particular, they didn't get a spectacular raise, but they got a very spectacular raise last year. So we can give you another chart which gives the last 3 year summary. UWF, I have their thing, and there some people got as much as 17%. Of course, it depends on merit. So if you are in the highest category, you got 4% this year and 3% otherwise. They also got bonus across the board, which was 4% or 3%. This is bonus one time. So, there are so many ways of looking at this, but look at, if you look at that, and even here, this is not good, but is 2,200. Okay, so you know ours is 1,500. Okay, and 1,000 for half the people, it will be 1,000. So that's the problem. And you know, I would hate to compare ourselves with the one that is ranked the lowest here, right? But if we are usually thinking of ourselves in this group here, we are thinking of ourselves in terms of FIU, USF, UF, and FSU. And if you look at that, they're all doing fine. And we are not. We didn't used to be this far behind, but we are. So this is one comparison that we saw. And if I'm going to stop sharing, and since I'm comparing us with the other campuses, I would like to also, just a second, I had, all right. So essentially, you know, the comparisons are not just for salary, but it's also for, oh yeah, this one, that was the salary. Let me just indulge me for 1 second here. I have, no, not that one, but I was getting data to show comparison, and these, you know, these things are being written up in also in Orlando Sentinel, for example. So, for example, if you let me share this screen, and some of you probably have seen this, but let me see where is share. I go there. Okay. So, can you see my screen? I'll make it bigger. So this is, you know, we're talking about faculty, student to faculty ratio, right? This is from Orlando Sentinel. I can give you the data. I can even send you the article. It was a few months ago. And this is, you know, the interesting thing is here we are looking at, this is the national average here. And here we are comparing three universities, UCF, FSU, and UF. And you can see that we were all high. We were there. Florida State went through some hard times too, but they've managed to bring it down. And look at where we are. We are among, if you go and look at now at the national thing, we are third from the bottom, and the other two institutions are not even, you know, four-year colleges. So that's what we're talking about. We're putting in more effort. We've already been declared the most efficient university, right? But if you're going to do efficiency at the backs of people, you know, who don't even want to reward, I think that's a pretty pathetic situation. And so this is it. Now, this was with these institutions, UF and FSU. Here it is with all these others that I usually compare ourselves to. These are all the universities for which I saw the raises. And look at that. The, you know, closest, okay, FAU is close to us. But this is it. We're still the largest. I mean, so something has to give. I mean, we just, you know, okay, you will be able to get faculty to come, but they will leave, because when they look at this situation, this is untenable. You look the same thing then, and it's related. This has to do with class sizes. These are the percentage of undergraduate classes with over 100 students. That number for us, percentage, is 10% for us. For all others in the Florida system, it's much lower. So, you know, we've got some very striking numbers here that don't bode well. I mean, we, you know, the faculty are doing what they're doing, and the problem that we're having is that we're not getting compensated or rewarded for the effort that we are putting in. So I just don't know how to make the point better. And then, so I would really like to hear about the budget, and I'd really like to know what happened and why we could not be given even the small raise that others in the system have gotten. Everybody, the legislature did not treat UCF any worse than it treated other universities, but others were able to do it.
We'll come back to that point.
Okay. We should have a look at the budget, and I'd like to see the budget for last year and the year before. I know that last year you got 35 million new money. Okay, it's what did we talk about? 1% raise is how many million? 2.2 million, right? 1%.
Yes.
2.2. Okay, so 1% is 2.2 million. 2% is 4. So on. Okay, and when we're talking about who makes things happen at UCF, you have to grant us that it is the faculty and the staff. It has to be that. Okay. And at the same time, and I think I should mention it, we are able to find money to reward our higher administrators, right? This is a problem. And where does that money come from? And then there was some discussion about auxiliary funds. I when Rebecca comes, we will ask her these questions, because, you know, why can money not be found in other places? So I think I have more to say here, but I think I would really like to see what Rebecca has to say about the budget. And then I also have some questions, because I do have a copy of the budget and I have something over the last 5 years or so. And I'd like to understand how, when there is increase in the budget, what fraction of that goes to salary raises.
Well, Talat, what we may want to do is maybe get another meeting offline and include Rebecca. I don't know that she's going to be able to join us today. She had other conflicts on her calendar. She may be able to come for part of this. I don't know.
I see. So I thought she was going to tell us. I sent you several questions, right?
Yeah, and she's working on them. And we're not prepared right at this time. I got those at 5 o'clock this morning.
So the question is, all right. So is this the right one? Okay. So there are, you know, there are some sources of funding, right? You get, so maybe let me share again, and let's see if you can explain. And again, you know, I'm not an accounting major, so I'm not pretty good at this one. I can do some things, but not accounting. Okay, so here, okay, where did I? Oh yeah, so okay. No, that's. Okay, so these are the total current assets. I had the right one. I mean, this is, you know, something that, okay, here it is. Yeah, revenues, right, exactly. So here are the revenues from 2015 to now, right? And then I know that one is you get performance funds also, but you also get these recurring funds. And so then there are these expenses. And of course, you know, faculty salaries, part of the expenses. So then what I'd like to know is, where, you know, there are increments that happen in several areas. So the question that I asked you is that, could you tell us for the last 3 years, how much has been the increase in the recurring money that comes from the state, in the performance funds that come from the state, and in the tuition that we get from students? And then, you know, from that, I would like to know where have those funds gone, and yes, we did get an increase last year, so that was part of it. We did not get what we had asked for, and so I think what we'd like to know is how money is being spent. So if we could get an accounting of what were the line items on which money has been spent since August, that would give us some idea.
Talat, there's Giovanna chimed in, and she's asking if we can increase the size of this figure.
Oh, sorry. Is that better?
Can we do one more?
Thank you.
That's when I lost my thing, but. Can you see it?
Then
you
can't. That's helpful. That's better.
Can you see? Then you can't see. Wait a second. How about that? You can't see it. Right. So again, these are the numbers. The experts look at it and they give you some idea. But let me just decrease it just a little. Oh, sorry. Is this better? No, this is too big. But you can't. Then you can't read the. Anyway, I mean, you know, this is I think you have this just as much as I do, and.
Well, I don't know that I have this. I mean, there's a lot of things that I've looked at as well. There are things that I've seen on the Board of Governors website. There are some things that I found on UCF's website. I don't know that I've seen this particular document. It may even be something that went to the Board of Trustees.
Okay. Okay. But you know, my questions were very simple, right? I mean, there are three right. categories in which we want to know where are their money. And then there was some question, maybe somebody, hey, I'll yield the floor to anybody who wants to ask something about auxiliary funds. There was some question in chat. Would anybody like to ask? Okay, Nicole, go ahead.
We were talking during the last steering committee in regards to auxiliary funds and how they might be used in a wide variety of ways. Why can't that money be pulled upon to increase the one-time payment for faculty? And why hasn't that been looked at as an avenue when they're currently discussing using it for athletics as a potential option?
All right, it's a good question. I don't know that I'm able to answer it. I do know that there are restrictions on auxiliary funds. I mean, we can find out. But the idea with the auxiliaries is that they're supposed to be basically units that run themselves. They generate revenue, pay their expenses. But is it possible that some auxiliary funding could be diverted? Maybe. When we're talking about salaries, what we got to remember is the key word that we need to have is recurring. I don't think we want to get into a position, even if it was okay to do it one time, to go into auxiliary funds. When we talk about increasing salaries, we need to have a permanent recurring increase in order to continue to fund those salaries. So there may be some things, I think, as you mentioned, Nicole, that might be possible on a one-time basis. I don't want to say that it is possible, but it may be. That could be something that could be looked into, but it's not what auxiliaries are intended to do, to be a permanent source of recurring funds for E&G employees. We're trying to use the E&G funds for these increases, but it's a good question. We'll take a look at that.
So Chuck, I have one more thing since I do want to send it to you. So I would like to share this. And this is, I'm sure you're aware of this, but this is where, you know, this is just from the web, just, you know, these are things like, can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So these are basically, you're talking about living wage calculation for Orange County, Florida. All right. And so it's telling you about what the, you know, poverty wages are, minimum wages. And here we are looking at that. So these are the numbers that people have about what is needed. With one adult and children, two adults and children, and so on. And when you look at the bottom line, we're talking about living wages. We're not talking about, you know, people making a lot of money. And so some of our faculty are not making that. So this is something that, again, the university should be thinking about, that how can it expect to have faculty with PhDs, with terminal degrees? Some disciplines don't have PhD with terminal degrees. Then you know, and these are talking about salaries and so on. So I will stop sharing this and I will send you the information. But I think the point is that you know, we have, as you know, there's a campaign that's going on. There are places where they say, you know, just to live. And that is now, I was showing you living wage, which is really at the bottom line, right? I mean, if you can't make a living wage as a lecturer at UCF, then there's something really wrong. I mean, you know, people, if they don't make that kind of money, if they don't make at least, you're talking about you know, a family with just one child, and if that person is the main bread earner, then if you don't make 80,000, you're not going to survive here, and that's just the bottom line there. If you want to live like normal person, I mean, like with a little bit more to spare, then we're talking about 100,000. And so you know, I think I think the issue is that salaries are low. They are not keeping up with inflation. Cost of living increases are not being given on a regular basis, and so we are falling further and further behind. And those people who make less than, you know, let's say less than 75,000, 80,000, they are in very bad shape. And we have a good number of our faculty who are making less than 80,000. And these are some things that, you know, have to be borne in mind. And if you do that, then how can they survive? I mean, they have to find some other way to bring, you know, food on the table. So we, you know, I didn't think we should be talking about that. We should be talking about excellence. We should be talking about, you know, how productive we can be and so on. But you know, if salaries are such that an administration here doesn't think that it is a priority to give people a minuscule raise, then in a year when you had money, and you had money last year, and so I don't know when we are going to have this meeting, because if Rebecca is not here today, then we will not get answers to our questions. So when do you think we can do that?
Well, we'll have to try to arrange that. I'll try to arrange it as soon as we can.
Okay.
No, I don't know that we can. It'll be necessarily a Teams meeting.
Yeah.
But if we can get a group together and talk about these things, I'm happy to do that. Talat, you don't need much help making your case, but I'm going to do it anyway. Charlie, there's a table that I prepared that I'd like to show as well.
My computer's running really slowly. I don't know why. So it should
you
be there.
You can put
in
it in chat.
Yeah.
Here there it is. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
This is something I put together very, very quickly after looking at information on the Board of Governors website. And the last data that they had like this was for the 24-25 academic year. And this is ENG funding across the state university system, shows each institution and what the ENG funding per student FTE was, and we're at the bottom. We're at the bottom. Now, this is why, this explains why we're considered to be the most efficient university in the state. And this bears that out. But, you know, we're getting about 1/5 of the ENG funding per student FTE that new colleges. That's what that says. So I think what this chart also shows, I mean, we're at the bottom here on the ENG funds per student FTE, no question about it. It's just not a good place to be. We don't get funding. We are not the same as every other institution. In some ways, we're better. In some ways, we got some work to do. And one of those things that we want to work on is taking care of the employees that we have. But we are somewhat dependent. We are very much dependent on the funding that we get from the state to help us do that. And this shows, you know, we don't get a lot compared to other institutions in the state, compared to every institution in the state. We're not even at the average for the state university system.
So this
is why it's difficult to provide increases when we're not getting the same amount of funding. If all universities were funded in exactly the same way, maybe it'd be a little bit easier, but that's not the case. And we are where we are. We've got to move forward from here.
I agree with you, Chuck, but if you look at FIU and if you look at, let's just compare with those, right? They are also then not funded as well. Right. And our student body has grown significantly and very quickly compared to that at the other places, right? And so that is part of the reason why this number is coming the way it is coming. And it has to do with the faculty to student ratio and so on. But I think, all of these other institutions, everyone is going to have some excuse, right? But I think we do want these numbers that where did the new money go, right? I mean, you give us the numbers about what happened last year, what happened the year before, and how much of it went to faculty salary.
We've got some of that information. We're happy to share that.
Patient, please press 2. If you call, please choose to the following options to.
Thank you. I think another thing that is important to point out is we are expecting that at the end of the spring, June maybe, that we will be officially recognized for preeminence. A lot of the comparisons that you're making are to other institutions in the state that have already been judged to be and recognized as preeminent. So they've gotten some additional funding that we haven't had any benefit from yet, and we certainly hope that that's coming.
Chuck, we can make all the, each institution is different, right? So I agree with you that we cannot do a one-to-one comparison. Let's just talk about what is happening here.
Yeah.
I think you will agree with me that the faculty morale is at the lowest that I have seen. And you go around and people are not interested in even talking because they feel that they are just not being appreciated, and that this is not, you come here, you be here a few years and you find your way out. And we do not want that, because hiring new people, having them stay a few years and leaving is not the way to become a prime institution. And so I think, regardless, supposing, I know I give all these comparisons because it makes me, I'm amazed that others are able to do it, because at FIU, what they did, they sat down with the UCF officials and they, I mean, not with FIU officials and worked something out.
I hope it wasn't the UCF officials.
But... Yeah. We did not have the opportunity, right? I mean, it would have made sense. It still makes sense. If we sit down with you, we go through the budget and we say, okay, you're either going to convince us that, okay, it didn't, there was no way to give you raise and so on. And then we will raise this question that, okay, but all right, so you spend the money on these things, you hired this many faculty, you did this, you did that, but what is your plan for next year? Are you going to repeat the same thing? And are you going to then come back that there is no money? No, there has to be some kind of an understanding that the money is going to come from somewhere. Otherwise, they don't grow on trees. So we have to have, I think the problem here is that my colleagues, bargaining unit members, have lost faith in this administration. I have to say it as openly as that. They just do not think that they care, that the administration has its own agenda and doing its own thing and taking nothing into consideration. We are not asked to provide opinion. Now I'm speaking as a faculty member. We are not asked to provide our opinion on how to take this university to the next level. This was not the case in the past, and so people are not feeling included. People are not feeling that even if we don't talk about salary, there's so many other things. There's working conditions. There's engagement. There's making people feel like you're part of the same deal. I think I said this last time too. And then you say, okay, yeah, we goofed. We blew it. We blew the money on this thing, and we were sorry. We won't do it again. Next time we will bring it in, and we'll give you a 10% raise or whatever. But I mean, we're not getting anything, any kind of an engagement of that sort. And I think that is the problem, that we are not, there's no transparency, and we are not being told what is really going on or what will go on. And, you know, we should have a say on how the university moves forward, because if you're going to be hiring more faculty, which we are very much for, because we want to increase the faculty to student ratio, but then we have to have an understanding that, you know, the people who are already here are also going to be treated reasonably well. So, you know, otherwise we're just going to have this problem of a revolving door, and we don't want that. We want people to come here and stay, and when they come, they feel that this is a great place and this is how it used to be. So, you know, UCF can do it. I know it because, you know, I've been here a long time now to see that it can do it. But this is not how it's happening right now. It hasn't been happening in the last 5 years. So I think this is good time. We have a new provost. It's a good time to take stock of things and see how you can get faculty engaged in the decision making process, and how we can become more transparent so that we can also contribute and then understand what the problems are. Right now we don't understand. I mean, even if I personally understand, it doesn't mean anything. The bargaining unit members do not understand. And they are totally right, because they are not privy to what's going on. I mean, I can see the hirings that are going on, and some of it, of course, gives me a lot of pleasure, right? But this is not what everybody else is seeing, right? We have to have a plan in which everybody is on board, that this is how we're going to reach that this very preeminent and status that everyone wants to get to. I mean, we all want to be part of a very, you know, productive university, one that everybody is proud of. So we want to get to that. So I think there's a lot of conversation that needs to happen, because it is not just the salary. It's not just the salary.
Okay. Again, I hear you.
And I hope you convey this message to the provost.
I will speak to the provost, absolutely. Here's something that I want to make sure that I mention again. I think there's two kinds of things that you're talking about. One is we're trying to figure out what we're going to do for this,
that's right,
this year in the current contract. And our hands are pretty much tied this fiscal year. There's not a lot we can do. Now, what you're asking about also, what are we going to do in the future? What can we do so that we hopefully never find ourselves in this position?
That's
again?
Right. That's
to
right.
me, those are related but distinct conversations.
That's right. That's
and
right.
My point in bringing up the calendar here is I'm trying to do something in the current fiscal year to get the in-unit employees something. I am not saying it's great. I'm not doing that at all, but I'd like to do what we can. And I think we can do that. And at the same time, as we're working to go through a ratification process, going through working with HR to get things ready for a one-time payment, we can have these conversations about the budget, try to get these questions answered. And, you know, we want to do that. But, you know, if we answered all the questions tomorrow, there may be more questions. And no matter what the answers to the questions are, it's not going to change where we are right now in the current fiscal year. So what I'm hoping we can do, for the sake of our in-unit employees, I would like to get a one-time payment to them no later than May 15th. That's something I would like to do. And I understand that we have some things that go well beyond May 15th that can be addressed. And I'm ready to address those with you, Talat. I want to see that happen. Let's get the answers to the questions. But I don't think the answers to the questions are going to help us on the current fiscal year.
But you know, I mean, again, I right now, you know, we have to go and I have to go and talk to everybody in the bargaining caucus and so on to find out where we are going with it. But I think what we need is this dialogue about how we are going to move forward.
And that's what I'm suggesting that we try to do. I think you and I need to get together with Rebecca and let's talk about it. And I want to do it as soon as we can. I want to do it before our next bargaining session.
Okay.
Is scheduled.
Okay. I think probably that's the thing to do because, you know, there's no reason for us to keep repeating what we have. I think we've made the case clear that, you know, what bargaining unit members are expecting either, you know, I mean, basically percentage increase, one time, what have you. And, you know, maybe you can go and, you know, Nicole brought up some points. Maybe you can take a look at that and then. And let's, I think maybe at this point, maybe we don't have anything more to say. I mean, does anybody else from the bargaining unit here, bargaining caucus here, does anybody have any other ideas? Okay.
I will speak to Rebecca and we'll try to get something arranged. And, you know, if there's others from your team that you want to include, that's fine. The only thing I point out is the more people we involve, the harder it is to get it scheduled.
I agree. We'll have a small group work on this.
Let's try to do that. And I do appreciate how you and your team have worked through this with us. I know it is not pleasant at all, and it's less pleasant for you than it is for us. We understand that. But I thank you for how you've presented the information, how you made your case. We're not disagreeing with you. We're saying we're at a point where it's not fiscally possible to do what you're asking us to do. And we're not saying what you're asking us to do is unreasonable, but it's not fiscally possible for us to do that. But let's talk about this. And, you know, as you and I talk with Rebecca, she may be able to provide some more insight about, you know, what might be different in the future as well. But we hear you. And I just hope that we can do something for our employees. And admittedly, it's not much, but we'd like to do what we can, if possible, and the clock is ticking in the background.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you all for your time this afternoon. It's always great to get together. And Talat, I'll be in touch.
Thank you. We'll be in soon. Touch. Yeah.
Thank you, and we'll send you the chart that I showed.
I will.
And if you could send us the charts that you showed,
we will do that.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Have a great afternoon, everybody.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.